Good morning, church. Welcome to those worshiping online. So glad to have you with us. This is week 4 of 4 of our opening of the year series called Stronger. Now, this morning's message is called Stronger Focus. Speaking of focus, have you ever noticed or wondered that when a lion tamer enters into a ring filled with lions, he or she always has a whip and a stool? Have you ever noticed that? Look at this picture. If you've ever been to a circus or seen a lion tamer or trainer, he always has a stool. Why is that? Believe it or not, the stool is his most important tool. And the reason why is when he waves it at the lion, there's something that happens in the lion's mind where it tries to focus on everything, too many things, all the four legs of the stool at once, plus the trainer, plus the whip. And what happens is a type of paralysis falls over the lion. His focus is fragmented, and he can't really zero in. He's paralyzed. The same thing kind of happens with us in our faith. If you think about it, we come in here and we get fired up at church, and might be the music or the message, and we get charged out to go back into our week, and all the factors, all the different parts of life come flying at us. We start thinking or worrying about our job or our marriage or our money situation or our school or our kids or our parents or whatever. And before we know it, we've lost focus. We're trying to look at too many things, and we become paralyzed. We need focus. And to grow in our faith, we need focus as well, which is why if you're a note taker, you could write this big idea at the top of your sermon notes page. It's right here. Put it on the screen for you. To grow in our faith, we need a stronger focus. To grow in our faith, we need a stronger focus. I've been thinking and praying about what needed to be in this opening series of the year. What needs to be in there? And recently I was reminded of a lesson that I learned at a conference where Patrick Lencioni, a really well-known Christian guy who's a well-known author and business speaker, and he said, if you're the leader of a team or an organization, one of the hats that you play, I started to think about, boy, as a lead pastor, this is one of the hats I need to wear. He says, you're the CRO, you're the chief reminding officer, and you need to remind your people what you're focused on. And so here in a church situation, to grow in our faith, we need a stronger focus, especially in the first part of the year and especially in this season in the life of our church, and here's why. We just got through the Christmas season, and in December, on Christmas Eve in particular, we had about a 20% bump in attendance of people that were here or people that were engaged online over last year, which at that point was our largest year to date. And then just now in January, our attendance has grown about 10% over last year's January attendance, which was a slight growth as well. And so what we have is we have lots of new people and lots of new families who are in the midst. And so with that comes a new responsibility and a new opportunity to remind us of a few things that we're focused on. And so I want to do that for you today. Before I do, just here's one more story about why this is so important. To be clear up front. Recently, I met a guy and had a significant conversation about his life situation. He had just come out of a marriage relationship a few years prior, and his kids and his coworkers and his friends were now saying, now's the time for you to start dating again. We'd like to see you get married. And he said, okay, I'm ready to do that. And so he ventured into the online dating world, but he was overwhelmed with the profile. And so he said, I just got the three big ones up front. I care about this, and I care about this, and I care about this, and I just skipped the rest, the details. And he goes, lo and behold, pretty quickly, I got a couple of matches, and I reached out to this one woman, and we hit it off, and they went on multiple dates, and in 3 or 4 months, he said, we were completely in love. I thought, this is amazing. How lucky, how blessed am I that I found the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And he was almost 50, and she's in her early 40s. It was just perfect, he said. And then we were on a hike in the hills of Southern California, and she asked a question, and she said, so, honey, when do we get to start trying to have kids? And he looked at her, and he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm done having kids. My kids are grown and gone. And her heart sang, and she said, I'm 42. I've never been married before. It's my dream to have children of my own. And so I'm sitting here, and I go, so what happened? And he looked at me, he goes, we broke up. And I go, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, it's 100% my fault because I was not clear up front. I don't want to make that mistake. There's so many of us here who are new, and many here have been here for a long time in our church. For those who have been here a while, I pray that this morning's message would be an encouragement to you and a reminder that there's always a next step for you to take in your relationship with God here at CPC. And for those who are new, we want to be clear. And we want to be clear about three things primarily. So here's the framework for the message. Number one, who we are as a church. I'm going to go over our vision, our values that we hold dear, and our relationship to our valley. Second part of the message is going to be this, how you can get fully engaged here at CPC. And then we're going to end the message time. I want to be clear about this up front with, I'm going to ask you a very specific question. What is your next step? And then we're going to have an opportunity to pray and ask God to give us the courage to take these next steps. One more thing, just to be honest about and call out ahead of time. The middle portion of that message, this message, how you can get fully engaged here at CPC, I'm going to be spending quite a few minutes, and some of you are going to be going, man, you're talking a lot about our relationship to the church. And I want to tell you right now, guilty as charged. And the reason why is I am passionate and believe and have great conviction that you are better off growing in a relationship with God here at this church or some local church. And since you're here, this church. I think you are better off. I think your kids are better off. I think your family is better off. I know that I need the local church, which God says is the hope of the world. It's His plan to change the world through the local church. Amen? And so I need this church, my family needs this church, and you need this church, and your family needs this church, and we are better together. So now I want to tell you what our church, or remind you what our church is about. We're going to look at who we are, our vision, our values, and our valley. Now our vision is really based around one word, and it's the word reach. Our vision is we want to reach people for Christ. If you agree with that vision, say amen. We want to reach people for Christ. Jesus' mission statement in Luke 19:10 is, I came to seek and save the lost. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. We're trying to reach people for Christ. And a few years ago when we launched this REACH vision, I shared that the word REACH, we built an acronym for it, and the R stands for renew. We want to renew a gospel movement among the unchurched 95% in the San Ramon Valley. In any given weekend, 9 out of 10 people in our valley are unchurched. We want to see a gospel movement begin anew and afresh among those people. We want to engage all generations through gatherings, groups, and technology. We're an intergenerational church, and we praise God for that. We've got kids. We've got middle age. We've got seniors. We've got everybody in between. We want to engage everybody. We want to attract the next generation of young families and students. Care for hurting people with the hope and the healing power of the gospel. Help people generously leverage your time, your talent, and your treasure locally and globally. That's our REACH vision in a nutshell. Now let's look at our values. Two core values we hold near and dear, simply reaching people and following Jesus. We get these straight out of the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Jesus says, here's your marching orders, church. Go and make disciples. Evangelize and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Reaching people, following Jesus. Evangelism and discipleship. Those are the values we hold dear. And yet God has placed our church by His divine design 165 years ago, the first Protestant church in Contra Costa County. He placed us, CPC, right in the middle of the San Ramon Valley. So now we look at our valley and go, what is our relationship to our valley? Well, a year ago, we launched this movement called For the Valley because for far too long, we know, the church has been known for what it's against and we want to be known for what we're for. God is for us. We sang this. We see it in Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? We're convinced that there is a valley full of people, it's over 100,000 people, that doesn't know that God is for them, that doesn't believe yet that the church, God's people, are for them. So we want to show our families, our local schools, our local businesses, our local governments, our first responders, and more, the people of our valley, that we are for the valley. What I love about you is you have embraced this community initiative. You've bought into the For the Valley movement. And because of you, you have become like the vision carriers of this desire to reach our community with the love of God. So just a couple, I could highlight so many things that have happened in the last year. I just want to highlight a couple. Because of you, we were able to be the title sponsor of the San Ramon Valley Unified School District, the education fund Run for Education. So we not just had a booth, we were a huge source of volunteers, and we helped them raise. It's their largest fundraiser of the year for the schools in our district. They raised $400,000 through the Run for Education. So we're fired up about that. And those go right into our local schools. And then also because of you, we were able to go to the town of Danville and say, we want to be the main volunteer force for the entire Danville Oak Tree lighting on the Friday after Thanksgiving. So just a couple of months ago, we served 12,000 people. We did everything from security to picking up trash to having our Christmas choirs out there to stocking thousands of stockings to bless local businesses, anything that we could do to send a message that we are for the valley. And the feedback we got from you is we love being for the valley. Here's another cool thing that came out of that season. Just last week, we had a family who was new to our church, and we always ask them, hey, how'd you hear about us? And they go, it actually took me a while to figure out. I heard for the valley. I saw for the valley. I talked to people for the valley. And then I found out for the valley is traced back to you, to CPC. And I thought, I need to go to that church, and so here I am. That's a simple snapshot, high level, top level, of who we are. Our vision is to reach people to Christ, for Christ. Our values are reaching people and following Jesus, evangelism and discipleship. And our relationship to our valley is simple. We want to let people know that we are for the valley because God is for us. Now let's go to the second section of this message, and let's look at how you, this is where you get, how you get fully engaged at CPC. Now the goal here is not to be clever. It's not to be hyper creative. My goal here is to be clear. And not a million things to focus on. Not 10, not 20, not a list of every ministry in our church. If you want to know what's going on in our church and all the ministries that are available to serve and bless you and your family, come to our membership class today. It's at 12:30, right after this thing. Free lunch, childcare for your kids, and you can join our church. But for now, I just want to be crystal clear about a few ways where you could be fully engaged here at CPC and grow in your relationship with Christ. And there are five. I'm going to put them up here. If you're a note taker, you could write these down, and then I'm going to speak to them. Here are the five ways. Attend the weekend. Invite a friend. Connect to a group. Serve regularly. And give generously. Attend, invite, connect, serve, give. Attend the weekend. That's what you're doing right now. Invite a friend. Connect to a group. Serve regularly. And give generously. Now let's look at these one by one. Attend the weekend. Why is that important? How does that help you get engaged and grow in your relationship with God? The author of Hebrews explains it in simple terms. Chapter 10 says this, verse 23 and following. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Let's keep gathering as a church. Let's keep gathering as a family. Let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return, that Christ's return, is drawing near. The writer of Hebrews calls out three incredible benefits that happen when we gather together. First thing he calls attention to is we hold on to this hope. What is the hope that we hold on to because God's promise is faithful? It's the hope of the gospel. It's the hope that God is so loving and so generous that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, and that Jesus lived a perfect life, died a painful death on a cross for your sins and mine, so that we could have forgiveness of sins and an eternal relationship with God the Father through faith in him. And it's not dependent upon our performance or about us measuring up or our church attendance or anything like that. No. The gospel message we hold on to is that God is so good and so gracious that we're saved by faith in him for what he's done. Someone who's been around here should say amen. That's the thing that we hold tightly to when we come together, the message of the gospel. But then the writer goes on and said, there's something else. There's a motivation that comes. We motivate one another toward love and good works. In your that's the New Living Translation. In your NIV translation, it says, we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's what happens when we gather together. There's another one in that passage. It says, we encourage each other. All these things happen when? It says, when we don't give up the habit of meeting together, when we gather, when we attend the weekend, when we worship together, there's something special that happens when God's people gather together, when we sing together. Your voices singing It Is Well, that's a classic hymn. Amazing, it's special. When we sit under the preaching and the teaching of God's word, when we celebrate the sacraments, communion, or baptism, we experience God in a different way. Now, 20 years ago, a Harvard professor by the name of Robert Putnam wrote a book that turned into something that sociologists say was actually prophetic. He didn't intend it. His book was called Bowling Alone. It was based on a study about 20 years ago that more Americans were bowling, but they weren't bowling together in community. They were bowling alone. He goes, this is not good for people. It's not good for our community. We're headed, the trajectory is toward isolation. It's before cell phones, before a lot of the creature comforts that we have in our own life. And this is why sociologists have said this book was kind of prophetic. Because now we have these things where, I mean, let's be honest. We've got things like we eat out more, but we do it by ordering in and eating alone. DoorDash. No disrespect to DoorDash. I did it in the last week. I've got a good buddy who works at DoorDash. He makes a handsome wage. All good. What about Netflix? We love Netflix. We watch a show, but if we're not careful, a lot of times we'll watch a show alone, and then we have literally 5 seconds to actively opt out, or we are locked into the next episode. And pretty soon, we've all done it. It's like, oh my gosh, I just binge-watched, and it's dark, and I'm alone, and all this other stuff. No disrespect to Netflix. What about our phones? Do you realize we all have these smartphones now? There's people that are smarter than us that write algorithms that keep us attached to these phones. And if you ever noticed, you scroll and you scroll and you scroll, and you never reach the end. And in our minds, we fool ourselves into thinking that we're more connected. But we're not. We're more isolated than ever. And all the studies show the same thing. Now, I'm not dissing on technology. I love technology. We use technology. Some of you are connected to our church right now because of technology. And we will continue to find ways to leverage technology to reach more people for Christ, because that's our vision. And yet there's something special that happens when we gather together. Tuning in online is better than not being connected at all. It's not as good as being together with God's people. Attend the weekend. Here's the second way. Invite a friend. Invite a friend. Would you believe that from the very first minute of Jesus' earthly ministry, that the way that his followers and his church grew was from that simple step? Invite a friend. Look at John chapter 1, beginning at verse 40. These are the first followers of Jesus. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. He invited his best friend, his brother, to follow Jesus with him. Story goes on. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." And then what did Philip do? First thing, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And here's how Philip invited his friend, his brother, Nathanael, "Come and see." Three-word invitation, super simple. Come and see. Come and see. When's the last time you invited a friend to church, to a group, to a women's ministry event, to a men's dinner, to a retreat? It's amazing what can happen by that simple three-word invitation, come and see. It's all over Scripture. A few months ago, we made a video about the influence of that invitation in the life of someone from our church, Kevin Kennedy and Chris Callahan. Take a look at their story right here.
Hi, my name's Kevin, and this is my story. I didn't grow up in the church, and for many years, I got the sense that there was something bigger than me, but I felt like in some ways I was running away from it. I got distracted by work and family and chasing success and, you know, all of these things that were positive, but I just felt like that there was something missing. And so there were some amazing people in my life that I started to become close with, that I trusted, that I loved, and that had so much admiration and respect for. And one was Chris Callahan.
Hi, my name is Chris Callahan. Kevin and I worked up a really fun relationship over work and cycling, and more than anything, just sharing life with him of, hey, Gene and I just got done with a great church service. It was really pretty cool. Inviting him and his wife over for dinners. Just wanted to kind of get them, to know them more on a deeper level.
There was something about him. There was a lightness, a grace, if you will. And as I got to know him, I still couldn't pinpoint or identify exactly what that was, but I knew that I wanted some of it. And as we became closer friends and we were on bike rides together and working together, he kept saying, hey, you gotta come and see. You have to come and check out our church. It's really great.
You could tell that there was something in Kevin that wanted to know what this is all about. What's this whole story? And kind of, he would even make mention of, gosh, you and Gina seem to kind of have it all together. And I'd quickly tell him that we don't. And so I was very open with him of letting him know, I don't have it all figured out. Work in progress, but I'm doing my best. And here's how I work at it.
I remember some of our neighbors, the Hobbies, would take my daughter to CPC, and my daughter would come home and say, oh my gosh, I had a great time at church. I said, church? We don't go to church. She said, yeah, Dad, it's Sunday. When are you gonna take me to church? And that's where it just clicked. And then my daughter decided she wanted to go to the Christian Academy, which is the school that's attached to CPC. And I said, absolutely not. We live in the San Ramon Valley and we pay a lot of, you know, taxes to be able to go to the good schools. No, we're not going. And my wife was like, well, let's go and see. Let's go check it out. And then I met Jamie Westgate, and she started off the meeting with a prayer that I will never, ever forget. And within a few minutes, not only did I want to sign on the dotted line to have my daughter start at the school, but I said, there's something going on here that I need to take a closer look at. And so we decided to, as a family, go to a service. And we came into the sanctuary for the first time, and we sat near the back. And I sat next to this great gentleman, his name's Tom Dowd. And of course, he leaned in and he said, who are you? And I said, I'm Kevin. He said, I've never seen you. I said, it's our first time at church. He said, it's your first time at church. I said, yeah. He said, come with me. And so Tom Dowd took me up to the front and he introduced me to Tyler Scott. And he said, you need to go to men's fraternity. I said, what's that? He said, it's at 6 a.m. on Wednesdays. 6 a.m. on Wednesdays. I said, I don't want to go. So once again, I called my friend Chris Callahan. I said, hey, Tyler said I should be going to this men's fraternity, but I don't want to go. And you have to go with me. He said, okay. And so the two of us started going to men's fraternity, and it just was one step closer. And I had people that were in front of me that were further along in their walk that I wanted to follow. These were people that I just loved and trusted and admired, and that were genuine and authentic and just had integrity, and I was hearing about struggles in life and the way that they were handling them, and I was looking at these folks saying, man, this is something that I really want to get involved with. So I think with all of the especially personal struggles that I've gone through, I've leaned so heavily into my faith in the Lord, and there's a feeling that I get that I know that I'm going to be okay, and that I'm walking along with people that love me, and that I'm loved by a God that, you know, has forgiven me, and that I don't need to do anything or earn it in any way.
I know I wasn't the only person, but I was one of the people, and an interweaving of all these different people, and see Christ weave this incredible web of all these people inviting, and to see that come to fruition with Kevin's life and him giving his heart to Christ was awesome. Might have to pause on that one. After seeing what's happened in Kevin's life and hearing from his wife and the change in their marriage, it's turned around and made us, my wife and myself, invite.
So, you want to see your faith explode, your growth, your belief in God? Invite a friend to church and see God get a hold of his or her life and transform him or her and the family around them. And your heart will just leap for joy. You will grow so much. And would you believe there's research that has been done about the percentage of people that would say yes to a personal invitation to church from a friend? And you might be surprised at how high it is. Here's the number. It's 80%. 8 out of 10 people. If a friend invited me to church, maybe not the first time would I say yes, but I would eventually say yes and go with them to church. Invite a friend to church. Okay, here's the next thing to look at. Another way to get fully engaged, grow in your relationship with God. Connect to a group. Proverbs 27:17 says it this way. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This is what happened when we get into smaller groups from such a large church. There's thousands of people in this church, and yet you get into a group and something amazing happens. Another book that I've read recently is a book called Simple Church by Tom Rainer. And in this book, it chronicles a long study done with people who were part of a test group that were new to a church, like many people here are new to this church. They were new to a church, and it was a group that got connected into a group in their first year in the church. And it followed them over the next 5 years and checked in 5 years later to see their connection to God in that local church. And there was another group of people that were relatively new to the church who did not get connected to a group in that first year, and it followed them over the course of a 5-year journey with God and in that church. And I just want to share with you the results. They're staggering. For the group that got connected into a group, the percentage of people that were still involved in the church 5 years later is 86%, almost 9 out of 10 of them. And yet for the group that doesn't connect to a group, the percentage of people that are there 5 years later is 11%. 86% versus 11%, according to Simple Church by Tom Rainer. That's how important it is to get connected into a group. Now, some of you are going like, hey, Pastor, that was a good message and all, but I've been here for years. I ain't connected to nobody. I'm doing just fine. I sneak my way in and I slide my way out after the service. We're all good. Now, my encouragement to you would be twofold. Number one, you're a statistical miracle. So good on you for that. However, what I will say is to grow closer in your relationship with God over the long haul, you need connection. You need other people. You need friends. You need community. There will be a time in your life where you need strength for their storms. There will be a time in your life where you need spiritual support. There will be a time in your life where you need encouragement, where you need a place where you can study God's word to grow and have people praying for you and you're praying for other people. To have a span of care. Big church. a small group of people that you're connected to is your first. It's the immediate span of care. They watch your kids. They bring you meals. They pray for you. They encourage me. Just yesterday, I called a buddy of mine. He's in our couple's small group, who the night before, Friday night, his dad had passed away. I just called him. I said, I love you. We're praying for you. And here's what he said. He said, I feel the prayers of our community. I feel them. And he said, I don't know how anybody goes through things like this without the support of community. You got to connect to a group. Huge way to get engaged and involved and grow in your relationship with God. Now, I actually know that I'm not going to go further deeper into the numbers, but I will say this. In a church our size, even with all the people, the hundreds, over 1,000 people that are connected, many of you, into a group, probably 40% of you are still not connected into a group. Maybe that's your clear next step for you to take this year. Get connected. That's your area of focus. Let's move to the next one. Serve regularly. Serve regularly. Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 10 at verse 45. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is why Jesus came, to serve. And if we follow him, we should serve regularly. Similarly, a little bit later in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is explaining how God has given us all gifts. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you, that's a collective you, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He teaches in this passage that we all have spiritual gifts, God-given gifts that we should use in service to build up the church and equip and bless our brothers and our sisters. And some of you here, you have gifts in hospitality. I mean, you walk in from church, you might see a parking team greeting you. You might be greeted by smiles or a handshake from an usher or a greeter, maybe at the door, and you might think, that's kind of cool, no big deal. Would you believe that most research says that when people are new to a church, they make up their minds whether or not they're coming back to that church in their first 7 minutes, not in the service, in their first 7 minutes on campus. So before they sit down and hear a note of music or a word of a message, they've already decided based on their interactions with people in the guest services teams whether or not they're coming back. That's how important those roles are. And those of you that serve in those areas, you know that's how important you are. So maybe you have gifts in hospitality. Maybe you have a passion for students and you're going, I want to volunteer with students, middle school students, high school students. Maybe you want to go to Mexico, build houses for needy people. Maybe you have a passion or a love for children. You want to volunteer in CPC Kids. I mean, these are places where the action is in our church. Regardless, nothing lives out the message of the gospel like serving. And for many of you, nothing makes this church feel like your church, like serving regularly. Now, there's a word to some people who you're like, here's how I define regularly, Pastor. I'm 4 for 4 in the annual serve days. I've served in the last 4 serve days, which is a once a year. Now, granted, that's the biggest serving emphasis that we do once a year. We cancel our weekend worship services, and we send everybody out. This last year, about 2,000 volunteers to serve at 40-plus projects in our community. You might be going like, hey, Pastor, I count that as regular. I do my annual day. My encouragement to you is, we define regular around here as once a month, at least. One hour a month. We all have 1 hour a month to serve regularly. I was reminded this week that a lot of times people hear about the encouragement, or they might even have the desire. You might have the desire to serve. You just don't know where to serve. And many of you serve outside of the church, and that's awesome too. You guys volunteer in your schools. You coach youth sports. That's all amazing. And yet you might be wondering, where is there a need in the church to serve? And so just to make this clear, I asked our pastoral team this week, where is the greatest area of need for people to serve in our church? Where do we need volunteers the most? And the answer came from our student ministries pastor, Bill Haslam. He said, the greatest need we have in our church is for adult volunteers in student ministries. Wildside 5th and 6th graders, Wildside 7th and 8th graders, both of those groups are burgeoning. They're growing. We need adult leaders. Rock High School Ministry, mentors for high school students. It's growing. We need adult leaders. That's our greatest need. So now you know. And maybe that's your next step to serve regularly. It's one more thing that we'd say. These are ways to be fully engaged at CPC and grow in your relationship with God around here. Give generously. Give generously. Jesus is the master, again, at making things clear and concise. And in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, that's your money, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus talked about money and possessions all the time. One out of every four times he opens his mouth in these pages of Scripture, it's about money and possessions. He says your money will be the chief rival for your heart. And he says where your treasure, where your money is, there your heart will be. Look, let me give you the picture. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. In other words, our hearts follow our money. Very simple concept, actually. And you know it intellectually because you've probably bought a stock before. And what happens? You follow the stock. You become very interested in said stock. Or maybe you've paid for your children to go off to college, and all of a sudden you're writing those checks or having those deposits come out of your bank account each and every month. You start to root for that school. Your heart follows your money. Same thing goes from a spiritual standpoint. If you want to have your heart grow and be more after the things of God, the work of God, God himself, give generously to him and to his work. There's another verse in Scripture. It's one of my favorites. It's Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, bring the whole tithe. Tithe means tenth. It's the biblical standard for giving to the church. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's the church, that there may be food in my house, says the Lord. Test me in this. Only place in Scripture where God says, go ahead, you can test me, God Almighty, in this. And he goes on. He says, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there won't be enough room for you to store it. Test me in this, God says. Give generously. Give generously. I've never met an unhappy, generous person. They don't exist. They don't. Last year, I had a meeting with a couple in my office, and they were meeting with me because they were giving a significant gift to the church. And the most memorable part of the meeting was not the dollar amount, it was their joy. It was their excitement. These people had bounce. Their heart was bursting for the things of God. They're like, we are blessed to be a blessing. And they're like riding this wave of joy and freedom and blessing. I want you to have that. It's not what we want from you. It's what we want for you. The joy of living a generous life. It's incredible. There's nothing like it. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe that's the one thing that God is calling you to do. Let's recap. Here are the five things. Not a million, not 20, just five. Attend the weekend. Invite a friend. Connect to a group. Serve regularly. Give generously. Now, I told you we were going to land the message here. So here's my final question for every one of you. What is your next step? What is your next step? So do me a favor. Take out your program. You all have a Connect card. And you've noticed that on the bottom of that Connect card, we changed it a little bit this week. And so here's the way that you can respond here. It says, my next step is... And there are five things. There's attend, invite, connect, serve, give. Even if you've been here 30 years, there is a next step to grow deeper in your relationship with God that you can take. So I don't know what your next step is. Just focus on one for now. One next step. And if you would like help with taking your next step, if we can assist you or shepherd you in any way, just check that box right there. here's what we're going to do. As a staff, what we're committed to is as all these come in, and when we pray to receive our offering and do one more worship song to close the service, you can put your tithes and your offerings and these connect cards in the baskets as they go by. And what we're going to do as a staff is we will pray over every one of your next steps. That's the first thing. And I'm going to pray for you right now that God would give us the courage to take these next steps, to grow in our relationship with him. Secondly, if you want help, we're going to come alongside you and help you take a next step. That's our commitment to you. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to worship you together. God, we thank you for the truth and the simplicity, the clarity of your word. God, I thank you for reminding us that sometimes, we don't always have messages like this, but sometimes we just need to pause and not try to be clever or overly creative, just to be clear. So thank you for giving us the opportunity this weekend to be clear about who we are. That's who you've called us to be. To be clear about how we can be fully engaged in what you're doing here at CPC so we can grow in our relationship with you, God. And God, thank you for bringing clarity to what each of our next step is. God, give us courage to take this next step. Remind us of the joys and the benefits and the blessings therein. And Father, now as we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings to you, God, thank you for the chance to remind ourselves that when we give to you through your church here at CPC, we're giving to the vision to reach people for Christ. That's the utmost, the highest purpose, the vision to reach people for Christ. God, remind us and encourage us that our highest core values are reaching people and following Jesus, evangelism, and discipleship, going and making disciples. God, encourage us that our relationship with our valley is one that you have ordained. You placed us here. You've given us a heart and a desire to be for the valley in which you've placed our church. So continue to move us outward. And yet, Lord, while we're here in connection to your church, trying to grow in relationship with you, remind us, it's just take a simple, clear next step. God, we pray your blessing over this offering. Will your Holy Spirit increase this 30, 60, 100-fold to accomplish your work here in our church, in our valley, in our region, and around the world. We trust you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.